96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Did you get the memo? Well, that's the question author, philanthropist, and entrepreneur John Hope Bryant is asking. The memo is the title of his new book that focuses on the complexities and rules of economic liberation. He joins me in studio to talk about that. And if you have a question, if you have a comment, of course, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. John, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Honored to be here. You're a local legend, and your reputation precedes you.
Thank you so much. It's always good to get a little, get your ego pumped up just
as the added convenience of being true.
Thank you so much. Let's talk about this book, Five Rules for Economic Liberation. How do you define economic liberation, and what are the rules?
Well, freedom today is self-determination, but you can't self-determine yourself today without understanding the rules of free enterprise and capitalism, or to quote my mentor, Ambassador Andrew Young, to live in a system of free enterprise and not to understand the rules of free enterprise must be the very definition of slavery. And the reality is, while we are brilliant, when I say we, I mean African Americans, we are brilliant, we are amazing. When the playing field is leveled and the rules are published, we succeed brilliantly. Tennis, football, basketball, F1 racing. When the rules are published, the playing field is leveled, we succeed. But no one's published the rules on free enterprise and capitalism, and it runs everything. From the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. If your life's not about God or love, your life's about money. Your day's about money. But we don't understand money. And so, making matters worse, because of our history in this country, we have a survivor's mentality.
What do you mean by that? What is that?
I mean, after 350 years of slavery and 100 years of Jim Crow that ended in 1970, not 1870, when you've been told you're not SHIT for the rest of your life, and your forefathers and foremothers, unfortunately, some of us believe it. I think that 80% of black folks, brilliant as we are, clinically undiagnosed depressed. And if that's the case, and if we're dealing with basically lifelong PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, we have a survivor's mentality in a thriver's world.
Well, let me ask you, because that all sounds great. But the question was, what are the five rules of economic liberation?
The deeper question before the five rules is what's the memo and why you even need one.
Okay, so what's the memo?
The memo is everything the world ever taught you, never taught you about how power, money, and wealth really works.
Okay.
It's not written in a book anywhere. It's not in a textbook. It's not in a course. It's not passed down from generation to generation. It's amorphous. And there's a reason we never got the memo, which is the reason we don't have the five rules. The reason is in 1865, there was a bank that was created by Abraham Lincoln called the Freedmen's Bank.
Okay.
And it was chartered to teach free slaves about money, which is fantastic, but he was killed the next month.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's ever heard of the bank before. Frederick Douglass tried to run the bank, put $10,000 of his own money in the bank, tried to save it. It still failed.
So how is that going to help me in 2017, John? Because honestly, my money isn't in Freedman's Bank. And, Abraham Lincoln, yeah, he was a great guy, but that is not going to help me feed my family.
Because every neighborhood that we care about is a 500 credit score neighborhood as a result of that.
Explain that.
That means that you see a check casher next to a payday loan lender, next to a rent-to-own store, next to a title lender, next to a liquor store.
So we know that.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
We
see that. How do we fix it? I don't want a history lesson, because we deal with that all the time on this program, and 500 credit scores and all of that stuff. We got that.
No, we
understand it. We see it. It is evident. Your book is talking about economic liberation. So now we are 5 minutes into this conversation. You still haven't answered my question.
We moved credit scores 120 points in 24 months at Operation Hope.
So you mentioned Operation Hope. Now we've gone on to a different issue.
You want the five rules? I'll give you the five rules.
Give me the five rules.
We live in a free enterprise system, rule number one. We have to stop rejecting that. We've got to start embracing that. Don't complain about it. Don't tell me you want socialism, because before you can have socialism, you have to have capitalism. So that's number one. Number two, we got to fix our mindset. So either your mindset's making you money or losing you money.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, relationships are investments. That first relationship starts with yourself, because if I don't like me, I'm not going to like you. It all starts with you. Self-esteem, basically. Number four, don't just get a job. Be entrepreneurial. Question, are you writing checks or cashing checks? It's relevant, because what we need in our neighborhoods is basically a movement on entrepreneurship and small business startups to create jobs, because no one's going to give us one. Lastly, spiritual capital is the start of all true wealth. So if I don't have inner wealth, all the money in the world won't save me. So I can give a homeless guy $1 million. He'll be broke in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing's changed in his mind, his heart, and his soul. Those are the five rules of our financial and economic liberation.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to John Hope Bryant. He is an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and author. His new book is titled The Memo. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's go to Nick. Nick, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, what's on my mind? I'll try to be quick because I know you don't have a whole lot of time. Okay, quickly. And this is a problem that I've noticed, and I've been to at least 10, 12 major cities, probably more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that, you know, and I have no problem with foreigners coming to the United States, owning businesses. I don't care if they become billionaires. But why do you see in all these cities, you come out here in Virginia, you don't hardly see one African-American-owned storefront, but yet you'll see hundreds, maybe even several thousand owned by foreigners. You see everything. You might see Africans, black Africans, with storefronts, restaurants. But what's going on? Are African Americans are still being discriminated in the capital loan process? And we don't have I majored in economics, so I know a little bit.
Well, we got the question. Let me see what John says about that. He's talking about, to simplify, the attitude of immigrants in this country and how often they have been so successful when African Americans perhaps, you could argue, have not been as successful.
So it goes back to what we were talking about in the last segment, which is if I have low self-esteem and low confidence, you're done before you start. And what I said was the history lesson that we were talking about has to do with our crushed self-esteem. One thing you have, I can look in your eyes, is confidence. Now, we all have some self-esteem issues, but you have confidence. You can't raise your children without confidence. You can't drive in your car down the street without confidence. We have crushed confidence. That's number one. Number two, we never got the memo on free enterprise. And you say, okay, well, John, we know about this credit score thing. Nope. Because 44% of all African-Americans' credit score is below 620. Now, just stop right there.
Okay.
You can't get a small business loan at 620. You can't get a decent mortgage at 620. So while we're looking for the boogeyman or racism or the white man's holding us back, the bottom line is I can move my credit score all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if half of black folks' credit score is below 620, end of story. You can't get to the capital market. And when you get a mortgage, it's going to be a horrible one.
Does this have to do with, you know, our attitudes towards money and finances?
We never got the memo. That's what I keep saying. It's not like we got the memo and we screwed it up. We Lincoln tried to give it to us. Frederick Douglass tried to give it to us. 100 years later, Dr. King, a preacher, by the way, not a banker, tried to give it to us. The Poor People's Campaign, he's killed before the first march. It's not like we got the memo and we messed it up.
Got it. Talk to me about the attitudes about money and where African Americans may be deficient. You know, what's the things that's causing them now to make the financial mistakes that you're speaking about?
So if I hang around 9 broke people, you'll be the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll be the 10th. If I hang around 9 broke people, I'm going to be the 10th. It's just that simple. So if I have low self-esteem, and this has nothing to do with money. That's what I want to really underscore. My book, which is now a bestseller on money, has nothing to do with money. Wealth and poverty has nothing to do with money. After you get beyond sustenance poverty, which is a roof over your head, food on your table. This is about an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
This is about a perspective. It's a mindset. And the real poverty is the mindset. And so we got to upgrade our software, but we never got it. Basically, 35 million black folks never got a class on capitalism, to put it bluntly. And that class goes back to that bank that we talked about, which was never a work, which was never completed, though I'm opening up these Hope Inside locations to correct that. I've got 100 locations open. I've got 500 locations on orders. We're not talking about some little tokenism thing. And what we're doing inside of bank branches is getting them out of the no business, to the point man's question about why aren't there these, is it racism, and getting the bank into the yes business, because the bank won't tell you they cannot approve you at 580. They won't tell you for fear of being sued. So you, they'll let you take the application. They'll let you go through the entire mortgage process. And then they'll report you to, they'll refer you to the credit bureaus. It still won't tell you why you've been declined. So we are 10 feet from the banker, and we can do what the banker can't, which is to say, girl, that credit report is like a bus accident. Is that yours? No, that's an error. Let me fix that for you. That's a 40-point pop. So that goes you from 580 to 620. What's that? Oh, that was a charge-off. It was a phone bill I didn't pay from the divorce 10 years ago. Let me fix that for you, because they discounted that to 5 cents on the dollar when the bad debt company bought it. We offer them not $100, we offer them $200 because they want them to write a letter to the credit bureau to get that off your credit report. Now it's a 30-point pop. Now you're at 650.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the memo with entrepreneur John Hope Bryant. We're talking about your money. Give us a call. Lines are open. I've got about a minute before I take a break. So as you say, this is about our attitudes, but you're not necessarily saying this is about money. It sounds to me like you're also talking about information.
Well, the information is the software.
What do you mean by the software?
The software is how capitalism works, how free enterprise works, how entrepreneurship works. This station is entrepreneurship. What you're doing right there is entrepreneurship and small business. What Muriel over across from us is about banking, which finances entrepreneurs and small business. It's not something we've excelled at because it's not something we focused on. We focused on the creative arts. We focused on sports and entertainment. We focused on other things that we thought we understood, where the rules were published and the playing field was level. Meanwhile, we're cashing checks, not writing them.
Okay. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go back to the phone lines. So if you're on the line, that includes Renee from Waldorf. We're going to talk to you next. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about economic liberation tonight. My guest is author, philanthropist, and entrepreneur John Hope Bryant. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Renee, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Renee. What's on your mind? Renee, go right ahead. I can't hear you.
First of all,
there you go.
I'm a fan, Harold, but I got to dog you out on this. You were so impatient with the guy. He was Mr. Bryant. He was trying to give you a history lesson.
Renee, let me say this. Let me say what? This about history. We do history what? All the time. I'm interested in helping black folks today. We do history. Wait a minute. No, I get it. I got it. That bank that he was talking about, that stuff is gone. Abraham Lincoln, like I said, great president. He's gone. Talk about 2017. What's happening now? He wants to talk about the memo. I want to hear about the memo now. But go right ahead, Renee. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Now, where you're going, he's giving you valuable information. But the one thing I will say about this with black folks,
mm-hmm.
with our low self-esteem, we try to buy it. It's got to be this kind of car. It's got to be this kind of house. It's got to be the Gucci clothes or whatever, the Coach bag, because I don't know. And that's the problem. We have so much money and we have so much power. We don't know how to use it.
Is she right, John? When she talks about the trappings that come with money, for example, when she's talking about the thing.
Well, she's right about that. She's also respectfully right about our history. If you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you are, you don't know where you're going. So she's right about all of it. Yes. I mean, look, there are reasons why we should own a home. First of all, it's a hedge fund against poverty. Second of all, if you're paying rent $1,000 a month, you're literally opening a window and throwing $12,000 a year out of it. And I love you being a renter, by the way, because I'm a landlord. I'm the largest black owner of rental real estate in the country. I love you being a renter. I'm encouraging you not to. I'm encouraging you to leave my properties and leave the plantation, okay? Go own a home, because that builds equity and appreciation. It also is the government paying you to pay off your house because mortgage interest is tax deductible, which means you get the money back at the end of the year. And then you'll get your earned income tax credit check, which is probably good for $4,000, $5,000, or $8,000. And that's free money. Forget the club. Forget the hip hop concert. Forget all this stuff that is temporarily boosting your self-esteem and go get some real self-esteem. Love yourself first. That's why I say the first capital relationship is the one you have with yourself. Capital comes from the Latin root word capitas, knowledge in the head. It has nothing to do with money.
Renee, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Antonio, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Antonio. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
Just fine.
I really like this conversation y'all are having tonight. I wish we can get more conversations like these on the air. Mm-hmm. What I want to say is I think as a people, it's time for us to start getting financially stable in this economy. We have so much money that's out there, so much buying power. We have athletes. We have movie stars. We have all these people with all this money, and what are they doing to it? What are they doing with the money? They're putting it right back in the hands of the other people. When is the last time you went to eat at a soul food restaurant? When is the last time you went to a supermarket that's owned by blacks? We have to start supporting each other. We have to start building businesses, and we have to start going out and support each other. We're like the only people who don't go out and support each other. Hmm. I mean, we have to start building because we're not ready to do what we think we want to do because we're going to always have to go back to the other hand. We're going to have to always go back to the other hand. So we need to start getting financially stable. We need to get more of a grip economy because we are putting so much money into this economy that's going out of our community.
Okay. Well said, Antonio. Thank you so much. Here's a really simple question for you, John. How did you get so smart?
It was failure, okay. Mostly. I mean, mm-hmm. I was homeless for 6 months of my life when I was 18 for believing too much in my own press. I failed every business from age 10 to age 20. I probably tried 100 of them. But I became immune to failure. I started taking no for vitamins. And that resiliency is what I'm really trying to build in our people. I'm trying to build a resiliency so that you're immune to the criticism, immune to the racism, immune to the discrimination. I'm not saying discrimination exists. I'm saying, so what? I'm saying around it, over it, through it, you're going to have to get to it. And one of the things you got to do is to compete with this drama by living well. And you live well by owning your own block, owning your own life, owning your own stock. That's the best way to push yourself back from injustices. And so when I was 9 years old, my mother told me she loved me. Nothing more powerful than to be told you're loved by your mom. Mm-hmm. My dad owned his own business for 54 years. So I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm role modeling. So I had this yes, I am and yes, I can, but it was a banker who came in my classroom at 9, and I said, sir, what do you do for a living? How'd you get rich legally? He said, I'm a...
How did you get rich legally? That is a profound question, but please go right ahead.
And I said, he said, I'm a banker and I finance entrepreneurs. I said, man, I don't know what the hell an entrepreneur is, but if you're a banker and you're financing them, I want to be an entrepreneur. And that's how I became an entrepreneur. And I started a business the next year, the neighborhood candy house, and I was 10, and put the liquor store out of the candy business. My self-esteem went through the roof. So it became about confidence, about self-esteem, about role modelings. I realized that if I was hanging around the wrong people, I was going to be those people. My best friend George got killed, who was better grades than me, but he was hanging around my next door tweet, who was a thug. And I realized that culture was everything. We're making dumb sexy, man.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Renee, calling from Arlington, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I just wanted to know what you think about best ways to clean up credit. I am a homeowner. I'm an entrepreneur. I had the credit of rich non-African-Americans in Bethesda, according to the loan officer, when I bought my first properties. At the same time, during the whole real estate debacle, I had some challenges with banks not necessarily posting my payments where they should have posted them. And since then, it has been a challenge to really get the credit score to where it needs to be. First two books I read out of school were The Millionaire Next Door and Get a Financial Life. I'm very confident in myself and who I am, and I feel like there are a lot of folks who may have had some setbacks, you know, in the last probably between 2005 and 2008 based on the real estate market who were homeowners, who are homeowners. So how do they go about getting back to where they need to be, because that credit score not only affects the ability to get loans, but it also impacts the ability to get jobs. You could be a Rhodes Scholar and still not get a job because the credit score isn't right. So what insights do you have to share?
So I have about five offices. I have about five offices here in Washington, D.C., another three or four in Baltimore where my man here lives. My my services are free, F-R-E-E, free. I want you to come to one of those offices and go see Janae Roscoe, okay, call her. I'm going to make a bet with you. I'm going to get your credit score up 50 points in the first 3 months we work with you. It won't cost you a dime. If I'm wrong about that, I'm going to donate $1,000 to your favorite charity. Call Janae Roscoe, and we're going to pop your credit. I heard what you said. There are errors in your credit report. Once I clean up your errors, your credit will pop 40 points. We know what we're doing. We can move credit scores 120 points, and that's what we're going to help you do. So operationhope.org is where you go. I'm trying to find my man here is trying to help me get the phone number.
Tell her what this is.
Yeah, okay. So Operation Hope is the largest financial he's like me at the moment. Operation Hope is the largest financial inclusion organization in the country. It's a nonprofit, 4-star Charity Navigator rating, which means we're top quartile of all nonprofits in the country, and we do exactly what you just said. We're finishing what the Freedmen's Bank left undone with these locations that will raise your credit score 120 points in 24 months. We need a private banker for the poor. We need a Starbucks of financial inclusion. We need the NAACP of finance and economics, basically. And that's my obsession.
But let me say this before I let Renee go. And it's certainly wonderful to, make her, that generous offer. But give me some foundational stuff, because I know you can clean up your credit on your own.
But if you have low self-esteem, you won't.
Well, Renee said she didn't have low self-esteem. Renee is very confident.
Yeah, but you need low self-esteem. You need confidence. You need to know which hole to dig in. So if we don't have a lot of time, so I'm not give you a lot of drawn-out examples.
But give me one good example. Exactly. Because like I said, information is important.
Lady walks into the SunTrust branch in Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. She's got a 580 credit score. The banker cannot tell her she's going to be declined.
But does she need to have the banker tell her?
Hold on a minute. Okay. Give me a second. You told me this. You want the story?
Go ahead. All right.
So
go ahead.
The banker refers her 10 feet over to me.
Okay.
My counselor. My counselor doesn't work for the banker. We pull her credit report. What's that? I don't know. That's an error. Mm-hmm. This is what she's talking about. Can we challenge that for you? Yes, you can. What does that mean? We're going to write a letter to the three credit bureaus. The law states if you cannot confirm that is yours within 30 days, you must credit bureaus remove it. Most people don't know that. We wrote the letter. 28 days later, it gets removed. Credit score goes up 40 points. What happens to her self-esteem? Goes up. Her confidence? Goes up. Her faith in the system? Goes up. She then says, what next? The minute she says, what next, I've got her. We then say, what's that? Oh, my God, that was a default, a divorce, didn't pay my phone bill. From SBC, that was bought by AT&T, bought by SBC, then bought by Joe's Finance Company. Can I call Joe's Finance Company? Lady says, I don't have $1,000 for the phone bill. You don't have to. He bought it for 5 cents on the dollar. We call Joe's Finance Company. We want $100. I said, we'll give you $200. Why? Because I want your cell phone number, your direct phone number. I want you to write a letter on behalf of Mrs. Jones saying she's paid as agreed. Now her credit score goes up 30 points. And when it reappears, he writes another letter because I've just made him look like a hero. She got an 80% discount. She paid $200 on a $1,000 bill. He got a 200% profit on what he bought it for. Everybody won. Now she's at $650. We get her up to 685 and then got her the earned income tax credit, which most people don't know what that is. But if you make $32,000 a year and have two children, the government owes you $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the real benefit. It's retroactive for 3 years. That's 12 grand.
And that's my point.
4% mortgage she got.
And that's my point. The philosophy is wonderful, but the information is important.
I'm with you. But this is a radio show. I don't know how much you want me to give you.
Like I said, it's my show. And,
I'll
let you
ownership,
talk for as long as you want to. So there you go. His website, by the way, is operationhope.org. Renee, it's operationhope.org. Good luck to you, and thank you so much for your phone call. 202.
Hold me to my pledge.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Trina, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Trina. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening.
Hey.
My question is, actually, I have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like the guest to respond to it. technology is a very powerful resource and tool for black people. But yet, 90%, but a large population uses it just for Facebook and sharing their personal business and, you know, just really putting themselves out there when it could be utilized as a tool for wealth. And I would just like to get your opinion on how you think it could be infused to improve our community.
That's a really good question.
We're using it for therapy. That's why. No different than going shopping or going to a club or going to a concert. We're depressed. We're unhappy with our lives, and so we're using this wonderful, amazing tool for therapy. We need to get the endorphins a kick on the right side of our brain, which is where hope, opportunity, and faith and confidence live, and that will then let you move to the left side of your brain, which is the analytical side, which is where you then begin to use this technology to lift yourself up. So that's why I said you got to get the memo. And again, number one part of the memo is you are capital. Forget about money. No, you are human capital. If you're working a job.
New Jersey, and you're so empowering. We're going to keep doing what we do on our level, and we will definitely be following you from now on.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Trina. I appreciate it. Is there a difference between poverty or being poor and broke in your mind?
Oh, my God, yes. There's a difference between being broke and being poor. Being broke is economic, and being poor is a disabling frame of mind, a depressed condition of your spirit, and you must vow never to be poor again. Put another way, if I give a homeless man $1 million, he'll be broke in 6 months because nothing changed in his mind and nothing changed in his heart and his soul. Nice guy, we want to help, but he'll be broke in 6 months. So let me put it another way. If I don't have inner capital, all the money in the world won't save us. That's why most folks who win the lottery are broke in 5 years. 70%, by the way. That's why 70% of NFL players bankrupt in 5 years. 84% of NBA players bankrupt in 5 years. You can make it and still outspend yourself if you're depressed, if your values are not in the right place, if you don't have inner capital. I keep coming back to this self-esteem thing, man, and I know it sort of seems amorphous, but it's the whole ball game. Because if I don't like me, I'm not going to like you. If I don't feel good about me, I'm not going to feel good about you. And here's a big one. If I don't have a purpose in my life, I'm going to make your life a living hell.
Explain that real quick as we go to a break.
It's just simply self-hate.
So if you're miserable, then everybody else around you or that you interact with, you could make them miserable. It could rub off, so to speak.
Well, yeah. If you hang around 9 broke people, you'll be the 10th. Mm-hmm. The opposite is also true. You hang around 9 engineers, you'll probably be the 10th. 9 entrepreneurs, you'll probably be the 10th. Why am I a businessman? I saw my daddy as one. Why I love myself? My mother told me to. This is just role modeling. And when you're in a successful, why do you go to Harvard and spend 5 times more than going to a state university? They don't make you 5 times smarter. It's very simple. One reason. The class of 2018 hooks each other up for 40 years. Period.
Mm-hmm. Need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jay in Virginia. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about economic liberation with author, philanthropist, and entrepreneur John Hope Bryant. Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. Jay, calling from Virginia, what's on your mind? Hey, Jay. Can you hear me? Jay, give me a call back if you can. Before the break, John, we were talking about being poor versus broke. Please continue your point.
Yeah, that if you don't have inner capital, self-esteem, all the money in the world won't help you. And that is a large part of our problem. And so we fill that hole with things. We fill that hole with activities, with entertainment, with feel goods, which are short terms. And then in the inner city, where you have a 500 credit score neighborhood, then the trillion dollar financial service pimping industry, check cashers, payday loan lenders, rent-to-own stores, title lenders, and liquor stores are preying on your depression and your lack of financial literacy. And we think it's normal. And I'll tell you something else. 700 credit score neighborhoods have never rioted in America's history. There's never been literally a riot in a 700 credit score neighborhood in America's history of any race.
So explain that. Why do you say that?
Because the credit score is an indication of health. It's an indication of your self-esteem, of your confidence, of your role models, of your belief in the system, your belief in yourself. It's an indication of your It's a trending indicator. It's really not about the credit score. But I love credit scores because they're measurable, and it's not racial, it's not geographic. By the way, my white rural brothers have the same problem as our urban black and brown brothers. They live in 500 depressed credit score neighborhoods with the same check casher, the same payday loan lender, the same rent-to-own store. And by the way, they rioted at the ballot box, in my opinion, last November.
But what about cash? Because certainly we have seen, considering this economic crisis, and we just talk about, you know, black folks where they've used their homes as piggy banks, and they've gone deep into debt and damaged their credit scores. And now a lot of people, whether you hear it in the black community or you hear it on CNBC, everybody says cash is king.
Cash is not king. Leverage, proper, intelligent, thoughtful leverage is king.
Do you know what's wrong with if you have enough cash, you don't need credit.
If you're a billionaire, that rule applies.
Or isn't it? Or
if you have over $100 million, that rule applies.
What if you're a thousandaire and you don't? And with the theory that you're suggesting is, if you have good self-esteem, so you don't need, you know, Cadillac, BMW, Lexus, or anything like that, you're fine, you know, driving a used car, living modestly, and you don't. If you don't need much, then you don't need credit.
You know, this reminds me of this African proverb. The guy says, you know, he saw him, the guy, African guy, sitting on a porch, chilling. He said, "Why don't you go out there and fish in that lake?" Why do that? Because if you fish in the lake, you can catch some fish and sell them. Why do that? Because if you catch the fish and you sell them, then you can, I don't know, buy a boat. Why do that? Because you buy the boat, I don't know, you can buy another boat. Why do that? Because you buy all the boats, you can hire your friends. Why do that? Build wealth, and then you can retire and sit on your porch. He said, "I'm already doing that." So this is our problem. Yes, if you just want to chill and have low aspiration, fine. Don't do anything. But by the way, not doing something is doing something. A zero credit score is empty credit score is a negative credit score.
I'm not saying that you have to have
a low credit. You can't get a job.
Oh, no, don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about low credit scores or anything. What I'm suggesting is you can have a great credit score but you don't necessarily have to buy stuff on credit. Yeah, and you may want to buy a house, but some people suggest, look, if you have enough money, you don't have to buy a car on credit. You can buy a car with cash. So who cares?
Because you cannot get a leveraged return on cash. Literally,
what do you mean by a leveraged return?
In order for me to get an 11% return on my real estate, I need to get a 70% mortgage. Otherwise, I'm going to get something like a 3 or 4% return on my cash on that same real estate. Without a mortgage in place, I'm only getting a 3 or 4% return on my cash on the rental real estate that I just bought. I just told you I'm a large owner of real estate. But because I put a mortgage in place and I put 30% cash down and I've got good credit, so I get a 4% mortgage, now my return is 11%.
But you just said you had cash, though. But you just had 30% to put down. Right.
Yeah,
okay. So my argument is, I'm not saying you should have a bad credit report. No. I understand that. But I also suggest that cash is extremely important. You talk about real estate. What if I decide I don't want to invest in real estate? I just want to live in my house and invest in the stock market.
Let me make something clear about building wealth.
Okay.
When you're sitting here doing this broadcast,
mm-hmm.
you're actually losing money.
Why do you say that?
Because you're getting paid for your time. Unless you own this broadcast or your publishing rights or whatever, like Quincy Jones says, if you don't own publishing rights, you're actually not even in the music business. You're just a temporary performer.
Okay.
The only way you can build wealth is it has to be working when you're asleep. The only way to build wealth, I'm going to repeat it, it has to be working and making money when you're asleep.
But is that only is that only real estate?
No. Stocks, same thing.
That's what I was saying.
Same thing.
Right.
Real estate, same thing. A business, same thing. The principles apply. Entrepreneurship, same thing. The principles apply to everything.
Okay.
Leverage yourself in an appropriate way.
And so let's take stock, for example. You cannot use a credit card to buy stock.
Yes, you can. You know, I do it all the time. Fractional shares.
Well, yeah, fractional shares.
You can
but
do it
what
for 10
I, yeah,
bucks
but,
a month, 10 yeah, bucks
but,
a paper.
But that is not. Let's say it's not the standard practice. Yeah, okay, you can use that, but the bottom line is, if you talk about using your credit card, then you can go into debt as opposed to using cash.
I'd much rather you use your credit card to buy some stock than to go buy some old raggedy shoes at Sears.
I agree with that, but I'm not talking about buying raggedy shoes. I'm talking about the difference between buying real estate and buying stock. I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy real estate, mm-hmm. but my preference would be to buy stock, to invest in the stock market. But
let's talk about that, because that's real. Let's talk about
before we do that. Let's get Ray on the phone. Yeah, Ray calling from Arlington. Ray, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I am a good afternoon. Thank you.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. I am a small business owner, and my struggles have been because of my personal credit, and now my business credit is in the tanks, and I can only get these merchant cash advance loans, which they are complete predators.
Right.
And I've been struggling, and I got to always piggyback off of other contractors just to try to get cleaning, contracts. And if they don't want you, then they are, I'm finding the problems with minorities. I got to work behind him, and then I come with a low ball, and then they get what they're.
So, Ray, let me ask you, because we're low on time. What's your question?
To become a better person in this industry, get my personal and my business credit.
Okay.
I need his help.
I have three suggestions for you.
Here, go ahead.
Number one, find somebody in your family, cousin Boo Boo, Sophronia, whoever, who makes $50,000 a year or less. I want you to partner with your cousin or your girlfriend or whatever to apply for the Earned Income Tax Credit. I hope that they make $35,000 with two children, because now you've got a check that's retroactive that's going to come in the mail about $9,000. Take that $9,000 and clean up your bad credit and put some money in the bank, get ahead of the game on your business. Then number two, come to the Operation Hope and run and sign up to our 700 Credit Score Communities program class so we can help you get your credit score up. Number three,
I'm ready to do it tomorrow.
Thank you. Number three, sign up to our Small Business and Entrepreneurship program, which is also free at operationhope.org. Do it tomorrow. It's free.
Give me a number. I'm ready to go.
I don't know my own phone number.
He said it's operationhope.org, Ray.
I got that already.
Yeah, there. You can find that information online.
I'll mention the number before we get off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
All right, Ray, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. I only have a few minutes left, but what do you say to people who are living paycheck to paycheck?
That's my customer. They got too much month at the end of their money. I say you've got to change your mentality, first of all. You've got to get out of the survivor's mentality and into an aspirational, thriving mentality. You've got to decide that you're going to get ahead of this game by breaking the problem up into pieces. There's two ways to make money: make more or spend less. So the person may say, look, I can't make any more money, or I'm stuck. Okay, but if you're smoking, I can save you $1,000 or $2,000 a year and maybe save your life.
How about $7,000? Because I quit smoking, and then a year later I bought my house. But that's an old story, too, so go right ahead.
Going to Starbucks three times a week, I guarantee you that's another $3,000. So if you make $36,000, I've just saved you, in that example, 20% of your income. And then I can get you your Earned Income Tax Credit and then a child tax credit and get you another $5,000 to $7,000. Now, if we can get you your mentality straight and get you to now think about maybe starting a business, so work 9 to 5 and then let your 9 to 5 finance your 5 to 9. Start a part-time business in the evening. You can do a mobile notary service. The guy in one of my last books makes $22,000 a month in a mobile notary business. That's about as low tech as it comes. So that's my suggestion. The phone number, by the way, is 202-812-8835. The local number, 202-812-8835.
But that goes back to what I said in the beginning of this conversation, is that this really is about changing one's attitude about money, about your finances, about your own personal economics. And how do you short of example, and that may be the answer, how do you change people's attitudes, these decades-old attitudes about money?
So first of all, we have a problem with ourselves. That's number one. It's the attitude about ourselves. That's number one. Number two, we keep saying that capitalism is evil. Stop that. People, oh, we hate rich people. No, you don't. You hate rich people till you become rich.
Yes,
I've heard
that.
So your nail tech is a capitalist. Your barber is a capitalist. Your gas station is a capitalist. The person taking care of your children is not doing it for free, probably. That's a capitalist. Let's stop demonizing the system and master it. That's the memo. That's my book.
John Hope Bryant. The book is The Memo. You can find out more information on OperationHope.org. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. You're great.
And thank you so much. And good luck to you as well. Of course, that information for his organization will be on our website on WHUR.com. Again, John, thank you so much for coming in. That is The Daily Drum for Thursday, October 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. Certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stand by for Lorna Newton and The Connection. Good night.